Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness, text number 3. Kshetragyam chapimam vidhi. Sarva kshetreshu bharata. Kshetra kshetragayor jnanam. Yathas jnanam tamamama. Kshetra gyam, the knower of the field. Cha, also. Api, certainly. Mam, me. Vidi, no. Sarva, all. Kshetreshu, in bodily fields. Bharata, O son of Bharata. Kshetra, the field of activities, the body. Kshetra gayo, and the knower of the field. Jnanam, knowledge of. Yat, which. Tat, that. Jnanam, knowledge. Matam, opinion. Mama, my. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O son of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand this body and its knowledge is called knowledge. That is my opinion. Purport. While discussing the subject of the body and the knower of the body, the soul and the super soul, we shall find three different topics to study. The Lord, the living entity, and matter. In every field of activities, in every body, there are two souls. The individual soul and the super soul. Because the super soul is the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna says, I am also the knower, but I am not the individual knower of the body. I am the super knower. I am present in every body as the Paramatma or super soul. One who studies the subject matter of the field of activity and the knower of the field very minutely in terms of this Bhagavad Gita can attain to knowledge, namely knowledge of the soul, the supreme soul, and matter. The Lord says, I am the knower of the field of activities in every individual body. The individual may be the knower of his own body, but he has not the knowledge of other bodies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present as the super soul in all bodies, knows everything about all bodies. He knows all the different bodies of all the various species of life. A citizen may know everything about his patch of land, but the king knows not only his palace, but all the properties possessed by the individual citizens. Similarly, one may be the proprietor of the body individually, but the Supreme Lord is the proprietor of all bodies. The king is the original proprietor of the kingdom, and the citizen is the secondary proprietor. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the supreme proprietor of all bodies. The body consists of the senses. The Supreme Lord is Rishikesh, which means the controller of the senses. He is the original controller of the senses, just as the king is the original controller of all the activities of the state. The citizens are secondary controllers. The Lord says, I am also the knower. This means that he is the super knower. The individual soul knows only his particular body. In the Vedic literature, it is stated as follows. Kshetrani hi sharirani bijam api shubhashubhe tanivetina yogatma tatak kshetra gya uchete. The body is called the kshetra, and within it dwells the owner of the body, the Supreme Lord, who knows both the body and the owner of the body. Therefore, he is called the knower of all fields. the distinction between the field of activities, the knower of activities, and the supreme knower of activities described as follows. Perfect knowledge of the constitution of the body, the constitution of the individual soul, and the constitution of the supersoul is known in terms of Vedic literature as jnana. That is the opinion of Krishna. To understand both the soul and the supersoul as one, yet distinct, is knowledge. One who does not understand the field of activity and the knower of activity is not in perfect knowledge. One has to understand the position of Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer of nature, and Ishvara, the knower of who dominates and controls nature, and the individual soul. One should not confuse the three in their different capacities. One should not confuse the painter, the painting, and the easel. So who's the painter in this analogy? Who's the painting? And what's the easel?
Krishna is the painter.
Okay, then who's the painting? And that would leave the easel as the soul. How is the soul the easel? Just become the instrument. The easel is what the painting's held on. That's what the easel means. The easel is what the painting is put on. No, that's the paintbrush. So, who's holding up? If the painting is who? The easel, well, it's not a very easy, I mean, I've only read this maybe 300 times. I still haven't understood it. All we can do is make a guess. It's not very straightforward. The painter is obviously, well, I'd say the painter is the soul, the easel is Krishna, and the painting is the material nature. Because Krishna is the sustainer, the doer of the activities, oh, in one sense, is not the soul, but in the other sense, the whole material world exists so the soul can create the painting that he wants. So the soul must be the painting, and the material nature is what he creates it with, and the one who sustains everything is the easel of Krishna. Now, no one can prove me right, and no one can prove me wrong. You may have your own choice, whatever. But anyhow, we'll go on. It doesn't. The material world, which is the field of activities, is nature. And the enjoyer of nature is the living entity. And above them both is the supreme controller, personality of Godhead. It is stated in the Vedic literature language in the Shweta Svatara Upanishad, Bhokta Bhoktaram Priritaram Chamadvam Sarvam Proktam Trividam Brahmam Etat. There are three Brahman conceptions. Prakriti is Brahman is the field of activities. And the Jiva, individual soul, is also Brahman and is trying to control the material nature. And the control of both of them is also Brahman, but he is the factual controller. This chapter is also will be explained that out of the two knowers, one is fallible and the other is infallible. One is superior and the other is subordinate. One who understands the two knowers of the field to be one and the same contradicts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who states here very clearly, I am also the knower of the field of activity. One who misunderstands a rope to be a serpent is not in knowledge. There are different kinds of bodies, and there are different owners of the bodies. Because each individual soul has his capacity, individual capacity, for lording over the material nature, there are different bodies. But the Supreme is also present in them as the controller. The word cha is significant, for it indicates the total number of bodies. That is the opinion of Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Krishna is the supersoul present in each and every body, apart from the individual soul. And Krishna explicitly says here that the supersoul is the controller of both the field of activities and the finite enjoyer. So, verse again. Kshetragam chavimam vidhi sarva kshetre shubhartha kshetra kshetragayor gyanam yattash gyanam vatamama. O son of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower of all bodies. To understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Aham savasya pravo matak saram pravartite iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. That he's the source of everything. That's a lot. More than we can conceive of. Everything is flowing from him. The wise who know this perfectly well engage in his devotional service and worship him with all their hearts. Now, the inconceivably great Supreme Personality of Godhead has expanded himself into every living entity's heart. So that means in our heart, is the Supreme Lord who knows everything, past, present, and future. So part of self-realization is to not only understand that we're eternal, which Krishna has emphasized from the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, which is real knowledge. And at least it's part of real knowledge to understand that we're spiritual beings. Now, if we were completely absorbed in that conception, we would have no material problems. We wouldn't be complete. We wouldn't feel complete because we'd be missing a relationship, what the foundational relationship is between all the eternal living entities. But at least we'd be in knowledge right now because we misidentify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies. We don't even have that much knowledge. Although so-called knowledge is available, as a matter of fact, a whole lot of it is available, and it's not completely not knowledge, but it's not real knowledge. In other words, knowledge of how the material world works is a kind of knowledge, but ultimately it's so relevant as real knowledge is. To understand how ignorance works is not the highest knowledge. But the material world is working according to our perceptions of things. In other words, we believe what our conceptions are. And we take that as knowledge. But there's only one real truth, that is the soul, the super soul, and the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Person of Godhead. That's the only real knowledge. Everything else is just varieties of ignorance. That doesn't mean that there's no material nature. As it says here, there's the soul, the super soul, and nature. So the material nature is there, but our conception of it, when we think we're this body, is ignorance. And when we forget about the super soul, that's also ignorance. If we think, for instance, we don't know who we are, then we'll think we're something we're not. And if we don't know how things are going on in the material world under the direction of the super soul, then we'll think that we're something that we're not, namely the doer of the activities. We don't realize how much we're dependent upon Krishna for whatever we're doing. And that, for instance, Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, he didn't want to fight because he thought he was going to get a bad reaction. But the person who's giving everyone whatever reaction they get was telling him to fight. So Arjuna was put into ignorance because he didn't realize, he was afraid of the reaction, but the person who gives everyone whatever reaction they're getting was telling him to fight. So if he didn't fight, he'd get a reaction. The very reaction that he didn't want to get, he'd get if he didn't follow the person who gives everyone reactions. So Arjuna had to hear Bhagavad Gita before he actually believed that Krishna was God. And we have to hear the Bhagavad Gita a good number of times before we'll believe Krishna is God. That the person in our heart, there's actually another person in our heart. We're not even aware that we're in the heart. We don't even know where we are. What to speak of someone else in our heart? Most people, just like devotees, they get some idea that Krishna might be there somewhere. You know, maybe he's in the deity form. Maybe he's in somewhere. Maybe he's watching over me somewhere. I don't know. Somewhere he's there. And if we do a little sincere service, sometimes we get some realization, yes, Krishna is there. Otherwise, how would this be possible? Especially when our service becomes a little more intensely dependent upon Krishna. Then we realize how Krishna is actually controlling things. One time I was asked to go to an airport, which was illegal, to see how it would be like to distribute books there. Now, I personally didn't like to do illegal airports, because whenever I got in trouble, I got caught by the authorities, they were usually very unpleasant. And even when it was legal, they were unpleasant, usually. Anyhow, so I agreed to do it, so I went to this airport in San Antonio, Texas. And I think maybe it was the Austin, Texas, the airport. I went in there, and I guess I could understand Krishna was understood. I had surrendered. So in one moment, he empowered me so much that everyone I went up to, I mean, I could just feel the empowerment, just stopped and took the book, took out the wallet, and gave me a donation. Now, I may have had a big false ego, I probably still have, but I realize I'm not the doer here at all. No one does that with me. And that lasted for some time, not one or two people, a few people like that. And then, you know, I thought maybe this, I didn't know if the airport was alright, I knew Krishna was alright. And that was the end of my empowerment. So experiences, when we were put into a test and we actually rely upon Krishna, then Krishna actually comes through. And at least then we understand that Krishna is not indifferent for what we're doing in his service. So then we develop faith in the super soul, that there's actually someone there watching whatever we're doing. Now a lot of times we wish he wasn't there. You know, Krishna, can you just take a vacation? Don't look. But Krishna is always there. Even we ask him not to go, time out, Krishna. I need a break, please. No, Krishna, there's no break. So that's why it's difficult, because sometimes we want him to be there. Look, Krishna, look what I did. We don't have to tell Krishna to look. He's always looking. Wait a second, Krishna, if we're pulling down the blinds, don't look. No, he's going to look anyhow. So it takes some time to understand we're not this body, but that can only be really realized when we accept the super soul. And then the super soul has expanded himself in the books as Guru Sadhana Shastra. So to understand the super soul, we have to understand Guru Sadhana Shastra. And to understand Guru Sadhana Shastra, we have to hear and then try to understand and try and perceive from Krishna's point of view. In other words, unless we see from Krishna's point of view, then that's not really knowledge. That's incomplete knowledge. Perspective is meant to show us or to let us hear more carefully what Krishna's point of view is. In other words, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, for instance, and discussing it with the devotees, and what we're trying to do is get a perspective, to a vision of what Krishna is actually saying. And ultimately, since Krishna is situated in the platform of complete bliss and knowledge, consciousness, that's what he's trying to say. And then, if we actually see things properly and apply them as, see things from the point of view of Krishna, the way Krishna is looking at our eyes, if we see the same thing that Krishna is seeing, then that's called conviction, that it works. And what works? that by working that way, according to proper perspective, as Krishna sees things, then Krishna reveals himself more to us. And we become more blissful, we become more conscious, steadily. And that experience is called conviction, as that develops. That Krishna is actually there, I'm eternal, I'm Krishna's eternal servant. The more I serve him, the more I become blissful and conscious of reality. Then, as that conviction increases, then transcendental skill, which means transcendental discrimination and expertise of how to engage in loving relationships with everyone we meet. And how to hear in such a way as that we become more steady and more enthusiastic about our service to Krishna. As Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't need any benediction, but if you're going to give me a benediction, then I pray that you can make my service more steady and more enthusiastic. So that's the intelligence that Krishna is trying to give us. That's called Buddhi Yoga. Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam. That's Krishna's business as a supersoul, is to make the soul's activities more and more in line, steadily engaged in his service with love and enthusiasm. That's what it means to become an instrument. To see everything so clearly that one understands at every moment exactly what Krishna wants us to do, say, think, and feel. That's called skill. And then one develops all the good qualities of the devotee, that Krishna has in portion, in minute quality. One develops all the good qualities of the demigods. And that's perfection, because all the good qualities means that one is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. And all the good qualities that manifest from that, which are described in the nectar of devotion, they're all manifested. But the best quality is to be in love with Krishna. And that's the most important quality that manifests. And then one is qualified to enter into the spiritual world, where that's all that goes on. Now in the spiritual world, there are no newspapers, there are no TVs, there's no internet, there's no people giving innumerable their understanding of reality. There's only one reality there, service to Krishna. But if we go on, most of our mass media and educational systems, they're not going to tell us that Krishna is the ultimate object of love and affection, and that he's the ultimate object of service, that he's the truth. As a matter of fact, we'll never hear that. And of course, there is something they call knowledge, but it has nothing to do with the fact that we're not this body. So they may say, we may agree with them that black is black and white is white, but it has nothing really to do with ourselves, with actual knowledge. It doesn't matter whether black was white or white was black. And we're not aware of we're eternal. We're not aware of the fact that Krishna is God and we have a relationship with him. Then it makes no difference what color black is or white is. Because ultimately such knowledge has no value. Unless it's in relation to Krishna. So therefore we know Krishna is black, and therefore that's valuable, and Balaram is white. That's what we know about black and white. That has some sense to it. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you spoke a bit about spiritual world, and some devotees were saying that there are no brahmacharis in spiritual world. Is this true?
Well, what about Madhu Mangal? Is he married? What's that? Yeah, and it, you think all the coward boys are 12 years old or something? They think they're all married? Krishna has all these coward boys. Did you ever hear of Sudama's wife or Sridham's wife, Mata Mangal's wife? You think they have some girlfriend on the side or something? Of course, they're all brahmacharis. All Krishna's coward boyfriends. There's elderly coward men who are married and coward women. There's also the gopis. Some of them are married, some of them are not. As a matter of fact, in the spiritual world, none of them really have husbands. They only think they have husbands. Except for Srimati Rarani, she's married to Abhimanyu, who's the shadow of Krishna. Krishna's shadow is Abhimanyu. Yes?
This is good, but brahmacharis doesn't live with their mother's home. We were just discussing, they're all brahmacharis, but basically they're not, if real brahmacharis are not living with their mothers in their homes, you know. We were discussing...
They're living with their mothers, they're too young. You mean brahmachari? What are they if they're not brahmachari?
I mean the brahmacharis like in the material world. This was the comparison.
Well, here we're talking about going to the Gurukul. They don't have to go to Gurukul. There's no Gurukul in the spiritual world. They don't have to learn anything. They're just going out and herding cows. There's nothing to learn. There's no occupations there.
Yeah, that was the point.
Yeah, well, why do you have to become a brahmachari? I mean, they're all... There's no sex life in the material world, so in one sense, everyone's a brahmachari.
Yes, that's the point, yeah.
They don't give birth there. There's nothing. There's no school because there's nothing to learn. They're eternally herding cows, milking them. They're learning from each other how to sing better for Krishna, but they're all teaching each other. Rati Manjari, she goes to Vishakha Manjari. Vishakha Manjari, Gopi, and ask, can you teach me how to sing better? There's no specialty. They're all expert. Whoever is expert is something they learn from each other. Radharani is teaching Rati Manjari how to recite verses when her and Krishna are having different pastimes, which songs to sing. That's all. There's no formal schools like here. Yes.
Cowherd boys. Do the cowherd boys ever get old, or they stay always same age?
Well, there's two pastimes going on: Gokula Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, no one ages. They're all eternally the same age, although they're growing younger, actually, in one sense. In a sense, they're all becoming more and more youthful. And here, in Gokula Vrindavan, they only age up to a certain day. Krishna seems to go from boyhood to a certain age, but he never goes beyond 16. Even here. And then after when he's in his youthful body, he disappears to go on to his next universe or his pastimes. But even in this universe, he remains eternally with his pastimes going on the apricot level in Vrindavan, on the unmanifested level. But they don't age there either. Spiritual bodies don't really age in the sense. I mean, just like, when you were born, what did you feel like? Do you feel any different from the time when you were born? The body is different, but yourself, do we feel different every day? That we're a different person? We're exactly the same person every day. The body is different. Our personality may change, our feelings may change, but the person who has all these feelings is always the same. So even here we don't change. We're always the same. The soul doesn't get older. Anything else? Kuala Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.